Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MV Pro call. Today is April 22nd, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which of course you can do by going to MotoVitality.com and subscribing to MotoVitality on whatever podcast application either MotoVitality.com or by subscribing on whatever podcast application you use to subscribe. So then you can get them and just download them as you'd like. Do appreciate those of you that are doing that and listening to this from having done that. Appreciate very much the opportunity to serve you in this way, although we would definitely invite you to come on live. We do this every Thursday morning between 8:30 and 9. Eastern, and we always love having you as part of the conversation, part of the discussion. Also, just a reminder that we could definitely use the ideas. If there's something you want to hear about, you want some a topic to discuss, or if you're aware of somebody that you think would make a guest speaker. It's been a little while since we've had a guest on, and I like to do that several times a year. So we're going to be working on that here coming up. I can tell you something we always look for at the when we do the WQA gatherings, and I'm so excited that we are finally starting to have an opportunity to get back into those. I know I'm actually going to do my first presentation at a live event at the OWQA next month. It looks like the convention in July in Vegas is definitely happening, so we're excited about that. That's always a great opportunity to meet people and bring them on, experts in the industry. But let's say there's somebody that you're working with out there that you just have that works in an industry related, it's sometimes interesting to talk to those individuals as well, to bring somebody in. We've had some great ones in the past. We've had somebody that sold appliances that came in and talked about the impact of it. We've had a home inspector come in. We've had realtors come in, not come in, but, join our call and kind of give us a perspective of, it's one thing for us in the industry to sit around and say, okay, here's how we approach them. What should we say to them? How would we build a relationship with that person? What would make it interesting to them to have a relationship with us? And it's kind of interesting to actually go to a realtor and say, if I were to approach you this way, how would that be received? What is it, what goes through your mind? This is, in fact, how I learned about the way a lot of well drillers, for example, think about those of us in the industry. When I first came in the industry, I thought, well drillers, perfect match. That should be the perfect group to build a relationship with. And I was finding that there just was a lot of resistance to, excuse me, to working or even having any kind of relationship with the water treatment guy. And it finally, I went to one of the local well drillers and I said, help me understand this. They're related industries, and what they told me, and something I hadn't otherwise thought of, was that, well drillers are out there trying to tell people how great their water is. Look, we got you great water. It's potable. You've got a strong supply. It's really good. And then the water treatment guy comes right behind them, or gal comes right behind them, telling them how bad their water is and how much they have to fix it. And so you get these homeowners that are caught in the middle with the, they're going back to the well driller who's claiming that they gave them great water, and then yes, they had to go deep, the water is deep, they had to go down a couple hundred feet, several thousand dollars. Now here comes the water treatment person coming in behind them and saying it's another several thousand dollars because their water is horrible. And so it's insulting. Automatically you have that barrier up, that defensive barrier between the two industries that at first glance should really be working together. They should have that type of relationship. I never knew that until I went and sat down with the well driller and said, how do you view my industry? What do you think of it? How is it? And I think that we have to be willing to to have those conversations. But those are the types of guests that I would love to have. If you know somebody that could help us and others in the industry like that, let's get them in touch with Jen, Corey, or myself, and let's invite them on the call and have that conversation, you know, and talk to them and see what we can learn from them. I think that will help us all. So please keep that in mind as well. I want to start the call off the way I do most weeks, which is by asking, is there anything that happened this last week that anything that you learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that is worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything we can help you with? Any questions you have or anything we can help with? Anybody have anything? So I wanted to start off today talking about something that I think happens fairly commonly with us in sales, and I wanted to kind of hear how you guys handle it or maybe give some suggestions on handling it today. But I know way back when I used to wait tables, it was not uncommon for me to, you know, you talk to the customer and you tell them that, you know, here's your menu. You hand them the menu item. I always thought, man, wouldn't it be great if when we walked into the house, we could do what I did when I was a server, which was simply hand the customer, the guest, a menu and have them go through and select the items that had the prices right there on the menu for me. Okay. You know, I hand them this book or booklet, this paper, whatever it is. It has the selections, all the selections, their drinks, their appetizers, their main course, their desserts. All of that stuff is on this menu that I hand to this guest when they walk into that restaurant. And the guest sits there and makes a selection. They look at the prices. That's part of what they decide on. Not all of them buy the cheapest stuff. You know, some of them really don't even look at the price. They look at the just the item that they want, you know. But you probably sell less surf and turf than you do hamburgers or sirloins because price is a factor, right? You know, surf and turf is $60 and a burger is $14. That does make a difference. And sometimes people just want a burger. Sometimes that doesn't have anything to do with price anyway. But you hand this to them and they make a selection. They say, this is what I want to buy. They tell you how much they, you know, in some cases, in a lot of states now, they're putting additional information on there, you know, calories and other things, which goes to prove that there are other factors other than just price that determines what people buy, right, when that determines what they eat. So they're looking at it going, okay, this thing, you know, if they're watching their calories, price is going to matter less than the calorie count that is printed. So in some cases, some restaurants print the calories next to it because they're trying to give more information to the customer so that that customer can make an appropriate decision. Okay. There are occasions when the customer makes a selection. It's there. We've offered it to them. It's right there printed on the menu with the price and everything. They make the selection, they've decided, they say, this is what I want to buy. And we, you know, as a server, I would go back to the kitchen, I would put in the order, and 10 minutes after I put the order in, when the order finally gets, or 5 minutes, or however long it takes to come up in the queue in the kitchen for them to cook it, somebody there comes out to me and tells me, hey, that item that your customer ordered, that wanted to buy, we don't have that. or we can't do it that way. We can't make it that way. Okay, now this has already been, you know, 5 or 10 minutes. If I'm a customer at this point, I'm expecting my food to be there in 5 or 10 minutes, you know, within a short period of time. I'm expecting, you know, to carry a tray out and put it on the table in front of my guest and you know, with all the food that they ordered the way they ordered it. But I have somebody that informs me that we're out of that. It's 86th, if you will. Or maybe it was the wrong thing, that maybe I entered the wrong thing into the computer. But regardless, I don't have that item. The item doesn't exist. The customer bought the item. The customer made the selection. They said, this is what I want. But it doesn't exist. So, MV Pros, those of you on the call, what do I as a server do? What do I have to do in that situation? And has this ever happened to you? Have you ever been in a restaurant where you ordered something and the server had to come back and tell you that it was 86 or we were out of it or we weren't able to make it for some reason? Has that ever happened to you? And if you were a server, how did you handle the situation? If you were a customer, how did the server handle the situation for you, and how did you feel as a customer? And I'm interested in some discussion on this, so go. You guys there?
Kelly, this is happening.
Hey.
I'm here.
I'm like, quiet.
I'm here for you.
Yay, there's people on. Right. Okay, go ahead.
Yes, I have had this happen. And I mean, I think even you and I together, we've had this happen multiple times now that I think about it. But in some cases, the cases that I think that I was the most satisfied with the customer service was when they came out and I'm just going to say maybe I ordered a sirloin. And they came out and said, you know what, we're all out of sirloin, but if you'd like, we can substitute a ribeye for the same price. And, you know, to me, in the restaurant setting, I think that speaks volumes. You know, we'll go ahead and we'll substitute it for something at the same price. There's been other situations where they just come out and say, hey, we don't have it. Too bad, so sad, pick something else out, you know. And sometimes it gets a little frustrating because you will get that server that kind of stands there like, okay, hurry up, you know. And then you have concern if the rest of the food is going to, you know, everything else is going to be ready prior to your food, and then everybody else's food sits and waits, or you have to wait for them to prepare your food, and you will sit while everybody else eats. So I think I've seen it both ways.
Yeah. Who else? Any other comments on that? Thank you, Jen. Any other thoughts? So that's interesting, Jen. You had two suggestions there. One is to substitute for something else, right? So that's definitely there. In most cases, I actually just had this last week, and I thought it was kind of interesting where the server just came out and said, hey, sorry, I didn't realize we're out of that. And I did have to pick, they didn't substitute anything else. You know, I just had to pick something else off the menu. And I realize from a customer standpoint, that happens quite a bit. It could be that they're out of Diet Pepsi, you know, like, I'm sorry, we're out of Diet Pepsi. Okay. What are we, you know, as a customer, what am I going to do? I've already gone through the effort and the work. I'm probably not going to get up and go somewhere else. I mean, I suppose I could, but I'm probably not going to at that point. I'm going to try and find something else closer that they want, because I've already made a decision. I've had my heart set that that's the restaurant I wanted to eat at. Maybe I really like the server. Okay. What I think what impresses me the most as a guest is when the server comes out and actually acknowledges, hey, I didn't realize we were out of this. I really want to find something that, you know, that you like, that you want to eat. And I know it's a little different type of relationship, but I like it when the server understands that it's a, that it's an inconvenience, you know, that it's, but also recognizes that, hey, this happens. You know, it's, there's a lot going on. Okay. So here's the question to you guys. First off, help me make the connection. Why am I bringing this up on an MV Pro call? What is the relevance to what we do out there every day in the field? Does this ever happen? And what are the similarities? And how do we deal with it? Anybody?
In our industry, in different dealerships that I have been in, I've seen it handled multiple ways. You know, it may be, you know, sorry, we don't have it. We thought that the shipment would come in before now, and unfortunately the shipment didn't come in. And, you know, I've seen where it's been, we're going to have to postpone your install date. And, you know, hopefully we've recognized that prior to the customer taking the day off, and you know prior to day off, hopefully we've recognized that and we've been able to reschedule so it doesn't inconvenience the customer. I've also seen situations where the dealership has said, you know what, we're out of this one, we're going to upgrade you to a different model.
Seen that too. Absolutely.
You know, and I think that speaks volumes, especially, I mean, that's especially nice if cost was a factor. And, you know, it might cost the dealership an extra couple hundred dollars, but you have a satisfied customer. I have also seen where there have been situations where they've put something in temporarily, then had to go back, take it out, and put in the correct one, which is kind of an inconvenience for all, I think. I that's not one that I would recommend, but I have seen that also.
Kelly, could I say something here?
Yeah, please. Absolutely.
Generally, Jim touched on it, and it's not a one-size-fits-all solution to a very common situation. You've been in that home, you've sold the product to the client, and you have an idea of what their motivators are, and so that may very well dictate how you resolve or smooth over that situation.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right about that. And that comes with having the relationship with the customer. And, you know, that is a little different than a restaurant. We have an idea, hopefully, if we've done our job as a sales professional, we have an idea of what their concerns are, what their needs are, what their budgets are, if we've asked the question. So that's a good point. We're going to customize that. We had a situation not too long ago with one of our clients, the companies that we work with, where one of the salespeople sold a unit to a customer. It's simply a misunderstanding sometimes when you switch products and you switch companies or you have different types of products that you sell or carry, the model numbers can get confusing, you know, the types, the technologies. This is one of the things that I found, for example, you know, I grew up in a world where when you said twin tank or twin system, that meant something like, you know, two water softening tanks alternating where you go, you know, back and forth. You don't have to have a timer in the middle of the night. You have continuous soft water. That's when I think twin tank, that's what I think. What I've discovered is a lot of companies across the country, when you say twin tank, they are referring to a type of unit that may have two tanks, but there's different media in each tank, and the media in those tanks will run sequentially. And so it gets easy to get confused if you're talking to one person about a twin tank and another person about, you know, what I would call a combo unit or a sequential unit. You know, that can get confusing even within our industry. So it's especially if you switch manufacturers or switch a product, you know, I think that's a really easy mistake to make, and hopefully management or the company does a more thorough job when those instances occur of making sure that the sales team and the service team and everybody involved knows what that product is. You know, that it really falls on the company to make sure that there's appropriate training there. But in this situation, the sales professional made a sale based on the parameters that the customer was looking for. And unfortunately, literally the day of, we realized that this was not the right product. This was not going to be what they thought it was. Now, there was an alternative product available, but it was a different product. It was, in fact, it really came down to one that was made in the U.S. versus one that wasn't made in the U.S. That's something, you know, a question that has been arising more and more in a lot of areas in the country is, you know, the U.S. made, what components, where's the home base, you know, what its certifications are, so on and so forth. And so it was one of those on a much larger scale than at a restaurant where the sales professional had to go back and say, I'm sorry, we don't have the sirloin. You know, did it not come in on a shipment, it doesn't exist. This product, this manufacturer does not make this product. And you know, it was a, you know, how do I, but I can offer you this other product at this, you know, at here's the pricing for that. We can work on that. We're, you know, almost the equivalent of upgrading, except that product didn't exist. Here's the end of that story and kind of what I want to talk about in the last few minutes of our call here. I think I learned this definitely waiting tables in the restaurant industry. I think it in a lot of ways it's very similar. That install, by the way, went in yesterday. The customer had a piece of equipment that went in yesterday. They're very happy were willing to work with us. That doesn't surprise me a ton because that often happens in the restaurant industry as well. Like I said, when that's happened to most of us, right? Where you are there, you order the food, they don't have the food, they come out, and you order different food. And your experience at the restaurant, hopefully, is not altered tremendously because of the product that you ended up having to select. It happens sometimes. Sometimes they don't have the food, you know, and if the rest of the experience, the service, the communication, the willingness to help, the expression of a desire to help, I think if those things are prevalent, if those things are common, or obvious to the customer, I think the customer, in most cases, is going to understand that things happen. You know, that it is a, obviously we want to avoid those things happening, but things happen. Would you guys agree with this?
Yeah.
So any thoughts to add to that? The only other thing that I really want to say in regards to a restaurant, we've talked about this before a little bit, but let's take a look at that menu item. You know, I started the call off by saying, wouldn't it be awesome if we had a menu like that we could present to our customers with the prices on it, with, you know, a brief description of what the item was. I mean, can we print out a menu of what we sell modeled after a restaurant menu? Here's, you know, here's the selections. Here are your drinking water choices. The water goes on you choices. Here are your water that goes, you know, the water that goes on you choices. Here's the water that goes in you choices. Here's your accessories, right, which would be sort of like an appetizer section. And, you know, the accessories, maybe upgraded faucet or a chiller or a hot tank or you know, whatever, a UV light maybe, you know, added there. You know, maybe that's your – why – or – so if we're not printing that out with the prices and the brief descriptions, I've never seen anybody do that in quite like that in this industry. I think it would be kind of an interesting idea to do, to have something printed like that.
Thing. What an amazing marketing to make it like a, you know, when you walk in the house, you have like a menu.
Go ahead. I want to go. Let's go back to the part where Jen just called me genius. I'm sorry. Whatever else you were going to say there, we need to go back to the part where Jen called me a genius. Go ahead, Jen. No, I'm sorry.
Sorry. I'm recording this, by the way.
Go ahead, Corey.
It's Bob.
Who was talking? Go ahead. Oh, Bob. Go ahead, Bob.
I created, I think I've showed you my little brochure. It's only for Whole House Systems. It's like the Reader's Digest version of the choices that you have. And I find people, when I go in with it, I give every customer a copy of it. And it's a basic, real basic description of what each unit does. Either a softener, a neutralizer, a carbon filter, iron remover. And I check off the ones that they're a candidate for. And it gives them something after I leave, besides a manufacturer's spec sheet, which is like, you know, they don't, you know, nobody knows what they're reading when they're reading those. But it just seems to be, people seem to be receptive to be getting something besides a price. You know, I don't have any prices because it's just, you know, there's all different sizes. But it's just a basic brochure on whole house filtration choices. And I find it to be...
See, I love that idea. If you would be willing to share a format on that, you know, I know it's something you created. I'd love to be able to put just an image of that on the description of this podcast.
Yeah.
You know, just a...
Yeah, it's just like a little, like I said, it's a little bifold brochure.
Yeah.
My name, company name, and a brief description of each type of filter.
Yeah, I think that's kind of a cool and I think customers are used to that kind of thing, right? We go to restaurants, we see that stuff. I think that makes it, you know, it makes them realize, look, you do have choices here. It's a menu selection. I love that you are doing that, Bob, kind of in that same concept. Even short of something like that, having a menu where you can print it out and have the prices there. I think that we can still create that visually. You know, you don't necessarily have to have the paper to show them. You can still guide them through the choices that they might want to have, even without having them look at something. You know, you can guide them. You know, are you looking at the water that goes on you? The water goes in you. Here are your choices for these. You know, you can create that menu visually for them or you know, verbally for them as well. 1 minute left here. Any final thoughts? Okay. With that then, you guys, I will call it a day. Thank you very much. Everybody be safe, and we will talk to you next week, if not before. So thanks, everybody.